Well, when you heard I was going to preach, you said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when I end, you're going to say, hallelujah. All right, beautiful, beautiful. The word hallelujah means highest praise. When you're praising God, no matter what you're going through, the highest praise you could ever say is hallelujah. So I hope that this message this morning brings you to that place where you can really say those words, hallelujah, to God, because the word comes from him this morning. So sometimes I know I try to explain to you where my sermons come from, and so I'm going to really kind of let you know a secret this week about what happened with me and how this sermon came to be. And, you know, sometimes I tell you about my personal life and things of this nature. Sometimes I tell you about my spiritual life, which is part of my personal life. But God and I were having a conversation where he was doing most of the talking, and that's surprising to all of you, I know. But hallelujah, yes. And I was actually listening, which is an even bigger hallelujah, right? And God was convicting me of something. And so convicting meaning speaking to my heart, talking to me, and wanting me to change. This is, as we're already in February, right? But back in January, we talked a lot about change, didn't we? We talked about improving for God, spiritual growth, things like that. And so evidently, there's another change that God wanted made in me. So he made it very clear to me, as I was sitting there with God. And I was sitting and I looked up and I saw in the corner of my eye across the room, there was a cactus there. And it's commonly known for most people as a Christmas cactus. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you have those, right? And Christmas is long come and gone. Well, this particular Christmas cactus didn't have any flowers that's supposed to come out during Christmas. And so Becky, essentially, as she went through the Christmas season, she would take that cactus, put it in the closet. I guess it needs darkness or something. And then it helps it to bloom, right? So right before Christmas, in the closet it goes. She brings it back out of the closet right around Christmas. No flowers still. So there it sat. And the thing with I tried to touch it and help her with it sometimes, you know, to try to, I'm not exactly botanical in that nature, but I was trying to help things out as I often do. And I broke off one of its little arms, I guess, or branches, whatever it's called. Well, I don't know. Whatever those things are called. And so I had it, and I was thinking to myself, do I throw it away? Do I hide it? Do I confess to Becky? What do I do with this? Cactus thing I have in my hand. So for those of you who are horticulturists, I apologize for my inadequate depiction of that. But needless to say, so Becky says, what do you got in your hand? I was busted right there and then. Well, I was looking, trying to see if there were any buds on this cactus. I don't know what's happening with it. She's like, give me that. So she takes it and puts it in water. She's going to cause it to get, I guess, rejuvenated, refreshed. It's going to grow some new arms or something on it, right? So anyway, that's kind of what happened. And so she said to me, she says, look, I know it's in tough shape. It's not bad that you broke off its branch. But needless to say, she said, this cactus, I think, is on its way out. It used to bloom. I used to take care of it. But, I think I'm just going to throw it away. I said, oh. And she said, well, you know what? I think I'll give it one more chance. I think what I'll do is try to, if you stay away from it, that'll be your part. Don't help me. And I'll do some things to try to see what I can do to bring it back to life and see if I can get some blooms out of it. So I start Googling, of course, because I'm trying to see, well, how do you revive a cactus plant, you know, whatever. And she's like, get off Google. I'm going to do what I have to do this. I'm like, okay, hands off. So needless to say, after when I was sitting there this past week in my God time, when God was speaking to me about how he wanted some changes in me, I looked over and lo and behold, there were three flowers on that cactus. Good job, Becky. Good job, Pastor Joyce. You didn't touch it anymore. Hands off, right? But what came in my brain right then that God spoke to me and said, one more chance. Right? We need to give one another and each other and ourselves one more chance to change, right? When things are falling apart, we can't seem to get things right, when we often aren't doing things God's way. The good part about God is the great gardener who always takes who we are, and sometimes our arms are shriveled and our brain is shriveled and our mind, our hearts, and things of this nature. But God looks at each and every one of us and says, I'm going to give that person one more chance. which is kind of what it was actually my conversation with God was all about. I'm going to give you another chance to change some things I want to change in you. I'm like, phew, good. I'm glad to hear that, God. So that's where the sermon comes from. So actually, it's really to me, so you get to, you know, you get to eavesdrop on it, but hopefully I think it's also going to be for most of you as well. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 13. Luke 13. About this time, Jesus was informed that Pilate had murdered some people from Galilee as they were offering sacrifices at the temple. Do you think those Galileans were worse sinners than all the other people from Galilee? Jesus asked them, is that why they suffered? Not at all. And you will perish too, unless you repent of your sins and turn to God. And what about the 18 people who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? Were they the worst sinners in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, again, unless you repent, you will perish too. And what about all those people at Christ the Cornerstone? And what about you, Pastor? Are you the worst sinner? No. But unless you repent, you will perish. So repentance, the word comes from the Greek, and it means to change, to actually totally reorient your perspective, your heart, and your whole view on life, and especially on God. It's to totally turn around, not just 180, but 360, completely around, and get yourself back to God. And then Jesus told this story. A man planted a fig tree in his garden and came again and again to see if there was any fruit on it. But he was always disappointed. Finally, he said to the gardener, Becky, I've waited 3 years and there isn't a single fig. Cut it down. It's just taking up space in the garden. The gardener answered, Sir, give it one more chance. Leave it another year, and I'll give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. If we get figs next year, fine. If not, then you can cut it down. So one more chance for the fig tree. You see how that kind of came into my mind, what those scriptures were about? Each and every one of us, God is a gardener in this, obviously. It's actually Jesus, right? He came to call people to repentance, to change their perspective about God and the people around them. God wanted people to change for the better, to be more like God, to be more loving, more kind, more wonderful, to be understanding, forgiving, all the things that God is, everything that encapsulates and is a part of God's character, that's what God wanted to change. Because I don't know about you, most people aren't always God-like, are they? Not all people practice what they preach, do they? We call that hypocrisy. And very often, as Jesus would often teach, he's looking for fruit, right? He's looking for figs. See, the thing about a fig tree is this. The figs always come out first, then the blossom comes later. So how does that happen in a fig? I did some studies for you, so you don't have to look it up later. Inside a fig, there's actually a little gnat, it's a wasp, that goes in and pollinates what's inside of that fig. And it, from inside out, the seeds begin to grow and a fig becomes what it is, an enormous fruit. And think about why Jesus is, see, Jesus always uses parables to teach, doesn't he? He's using a fig tree as an example to say, unless you get God inside of you, the Holy Spirit inside of you, that even a little size, gnat size of God, a little teeny tiny mustard seed of God inside of each of you will change your heart from the inside. And then what will happen? Fruit will grow, right? Fruit will grow. All of our repentance is an inner working process that God does inside of all of us. And then there's an outer demonstration of it later, right? How do we know that we've changed? When we see different results, right? When our heart gets changed, we begin to show more God-like features. We do the things that a fig would do. The interesting thing about figs, there's over 50 times that figs are brought up in the Bible in fig trees. And Adam and Eve, they used fig leaves They're huge leaves of the size of a hand. They use those fig leaves to cover their shame because they weren't producing any fruit. The fig is actually was very important in Israeli times for either nutrition as well as economy. Here's the thing about a good fig tree. It can produce fruit over 100 years, slightly older than most of us. And what's the biblical, what's the spiritual lesson in this? That whatever we do and whatever we say and however we act, when the spirit inside of us is leading us and growing inside of us more and more, starting out at that little wasp size inside of us, pollinating us inside us by the Holy Spirit, more and more and more we should be producing more and more fruit, right? Of good works, of good words, of all the actions and ways we behave in our life, correct? Yes. And it starts small. Let's turn to Luke chapter 6, 43 through 45. So what I guess I'm getting at is God wanted to see more fruit in my life and in our life, because the message is also for you. And I started thinking about, well, what's the fruit? Well, I often think about as souls saved for salvation. That's one method. That's one type of fruit. But also, how about the works that we do? That's a kind of fruit, right? All the ministries we have. But guess what Jesus talks about? He talks about our words. Yes. Like hallelujah. Verse 43 of Luke chapter 6. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from a treasury of a good heart. An evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows what is in your heart. So do you see what Jesus is talking about? And actually, if you go back prior to, earlier in this, in chapter 6, he talks about looking at the speck in someone else's eye. And not seeing the 2x4 on your own, right? And how we are so quick to speak to somebody else how they ought to get their act together, right? How they ought to change, right? Uh-huh. But really, what the message is for, as I told you earlier, the message was from me to you. So it's for all of us, that the words we say have everything to what's going on in our hearts. See, people can be judged by our works, yes, and they can look at what you do. But what you say while you're doing what you do, that can change everything, can't it? How we say, what we say, when we say things, and the words we use towards others are going to show fruit. Good fruit or bad fruit, right? It's the words we say. Now, one of the things about figs is they are very, very, very nutritional. So this might be called later the Fig Newton sermon. You might remember it differently then. See, the thing about figs, they're highly nutritious, right? They have all kinds of antioxidants, all kinds of vitamins, and all kinds of minerals in them. They prevent heart disease. If you have bad cholesterol, it lowers it. It prevents cancer. It's good for digestive health. It strengthens your bones. It soothes a sore throat or any other inflammation in the body. It treats insomnia. It gives you good skin. It reduces wrinkles. Don't I need to eat more figs? It actually was used to treat leprosy and boils. It enhances hair growth. Yeah, I need it. Hydrates, and most of all, that boosts energy. You see how good words can lift people up and change the energy in the room? Positive things you say to one another and or yourselves, right? You see how you can help somebody's heart feel better by the way you talk to them? Here we have Valentine's Day coming, right? Remember those back in the day? Well, maybe I'm too old for that, but anyway. The little, when I was in school, my mom would give me those little Valentine cards to give people, you know, they were little thingies you bought and handed them out to people. And then it's kind of like, it was like a Halloween game to me. How many Valentines I got back was determined by how popular I was. It's pretty similar today with Facebook, how many likes you get, apparently. But all those wonderful things that were said sometimes you ever wonder what really the truth was, what the person was really thinking? That sometimes people, like, they say one thing and they might treat you a different way later. There's a little hypocrisy the way people talk to one another about each other. And I don't know about you, but, you know, for those of us that have been bullied in the past, in our childhood, people are still being bullied today. How are people being bullied the most? Through words. Through words. Words then can often lead to violence. Action. Our words always precede our actions. Right? The thing about thorn brushes, I had to look at that too. A thorn brush actually is a beautiful flowered plant in Israel. Beautiful yellow, bright flowers. And you go to pick the fruit, it's almost like a raspberry or a blueberry from what I read. But watch out. When you go near that thorn bush, there could be that picker that's there, actually with serrated edges on it. Ooh, I know. We're not going to go thorn bush picking, are we, reason for coming up, right? Same is true of the bougainvilleas, right? Bougainvillea are beautiful flowers outside of our church. They look gorgeous. Try to trim them. You will be all cut up to shreds, right? So here's the thing. A bramble bush is actually also a vine that grows. And it grows widely in all kinds of shapes and has really long thorns on it. And it actually prevents people from walking places. It stops people from traveling. They use it as barbed wire in a way in Israel. Now, Jesus is using these kind of analogies, this metaphors, for figs, which are nutritional and help the heart and help your energy and all those kind of good things, and bramble bushes and thorn bushes. And he's referring to what? Our words. Our words. Our words can cut people down. Our words can build people up. Some of the greatest pains most of us have of our childhood and young adulthood, or even places that we work, and even around the world today, is what the words that people say about us or to us, correct? They hurt, they cut to the core, or they stop us from traveling forward with our spiritual journey, right? Words have power, don't they? But what does Jesus say back over in 13? He said, repent. Watch your words. That's essentially what the message was from God to me. I'll give you one more chance to watch your words. Think about what you say to others, to yourself. Think about how you talk to one another. Think about how much you talk to one another. Because if you know me, and this is the part that God wants to change in me, I got more advice than probably the Encyclopedia Britannica. And I'm going to try to give it all to you. But sometimes that's not what you need at all. God wants me to be silent and listen instead. Right? Quick to listen, slow to speak. Very slow to get angry. Book of James. We're going to be known, each of us, by our words. Throughout the scriptures, you'll see places where God speaks about that. And Jesus speaks about that. Are we going to be a bunch of figs here? Yes. Here's the thing. If you need to repent, which means to change, one of the things that God spoke to me about was my spending time where the gardener gives me special attention to help me change, to cut off some of the branches that are prickly, to cut off some of the words that don't need to be said, to take away those things in my heart that are not of God, and to replace that with that fertilizer that brings good soil and places good words inside of me as well as you. We are known by what's in our heart. If you want to know what somebody is like, whether they're good or evil, listen to their words. Now, what do we want to be? Good, godly, Christ-like, right? So I pray this morning that each and every one of us will begin to sit in God's presence more and more and let God's words, which are all in this book, and if you want to look at the red ones, that's Jesus speaking, the red letters. His sermon was 2,346 words, the Sermon on the Mount. Slightly less than all the words I've said today. Oh, slightly more. But those are the words from Almighty God right to us. And right after he had talked about not worrying about the speck in someone else's eye, so quick to judge by speaking out to them, think about what you say before you say it. Is it going to lift someone up? Is it going to be nutritional, spiritual value to them? Or is it going to rip them to shreds? Or just a little prick once in a while into their heart and hurt and harm them? We all can change and grow, can't we? The best way to do so is to get special attention from God. Like the gardener, adding to us the fertilizer of the Word of God, being watered by the Word of God, and then being changed on the inside. The only way our heart can change is for us to go to God and say, change my heart. And let my words be the words you would have me speak. Let them uplift others. Let them encourage others. Let them be words that need to be spoken in a gentle, kind way, even if I'm to give advice. Gently, gently teach. And more importantly, let the words of God be the words you use. What would Jesus say? What would Jesus say to that person that's cut in front of you in line? What would Jesus say to that person as you're watching football tonight and they have a bad call? What would Jesus say about the refs? We're so quick to speak, aren't we? We need to be slow to speak. Quick to listen, slow to get angry. And so, just like that Christmas cactus, which is now the Valentine cactus, a little late. Every once in a while, my growth is a little later than most people's. But all of our growth together as a church, especially in a church, how we speak to one another or about one another. If you would not say in front of that person what you're saying about them, you better not be saying it to a group of other people, right? We need no roots like that poisonous kind of bramble bush, and we don't want any prickly pears around here either, right? Let's speak words of love, because love is a language best heard in the heart and from the heart. The kind of fruit we're going to produce, a bunch of figs, so that each and every one of us can bless the lives of others and make God proud. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.